내 꿈은 뭐래. 내 꿈은 뭐래. Hello and welcome to another episode of BTS by the Book, a podcast that explores BTS through books about BTS, one chapter at a time. I am your host, the BTS Bookworm. It's been a while since I explained the format of this particular podcast, and since we've just had our 10th episode, I figured for the kickoff of the next 10, I would say a few things about the format, but not too much. This is a podcast that approaches one particular book about BTS in every episode, but the plan is to not revisit a book once we've covered it for quite some time. It could be 10 episodes or more. And I do that for one main reason. That's for the sake of copyright. I want authors of these wonderful books about BTS to not view me as an adversary in any way, but as a fan, as a supporter of their work. I want to encourage you to go out and get their books, not learn about their books through this podcast. So the book we're looking at tonight or today, for example, we may not look at again for a month and a half. And I don't usually approach books and their chapters in a consecutive order. I might look at chapter 7 from one book, and then when we come back around to it weeks later, I might look at chapter 4. It's random in that regard. And with each episode, I do try to provide enough context from the preface or the intro of a book so that people understand what's going on when I start talking about a given chapter. For this episode, we are looking at a book we have not yet looked at. It's a 2018 title by Mark Shapiro called Burn the Stage, BTS and the Rise of Korean Boy Bands. Now, this book is published by Riverdale Avenue Books. And I believe you can get it hard copy on Amazon or in a Kindle format. So I would definitely encourage you to check it out. This is a relatively small book at 152 pages. But because there aren't many or hardly any photos in the book, there's a lot of content. There's a lot of substance in these 150 some odd pages. This is one of those books that has very brief chapters. There are a lot of chapters in this 150-page book, and so there's just not a lot of content in each chapter, and that's okay when an author chooses to do that. I tend to like shorter chapters myself. But when it comes to the podcast, I prefer to have a normal chapter's length of material to work with, just to have enough to constitute an average-sized podcast of 30 minutes or so. So as I've done before, I will be considering two chapters from the book, and we're still only looking at about 8 or 9 pages of text, so not a lot. We were looking at two chapters from the early portion of the book, chapters 3 and 4. Chapter 3 is entitled Making the Band, and chapter 4 is entitled Almost a Bangtan Boy. And as always, I do want to share some notes from the author. as he introduces the book. There is an introduction following some author's notes, but I didn't find the intro all that helpful. It was more of a description of a concert in the U.S., which is interesting, but it doesn't really help to understand what the author is trying to do with the book. I would like to read one paragraph, a small paragraph from the author's notes just prior to the intro in the book. I think it explains a lot. Here's the quote. K-pop, the style of music that has spawned BTS, has been around a while, and this book covers its history. This book also has the personal and professional insights into individuals who have come together to make the BTS whole. That's whole, by the way. Creating a BTS in the modern world had its own set of challenges and hurdles, and you will glimpse how that works. So from my experience with this book, the author, he regularly touches on K-pop, but I wouldn't assume from that description that there are huge chunks devoted to it, because that is not the case. This episode was introduced by a very small portion from the song No More Dream. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with the song. I chose it not because it was mentioned in either chapter we're looking at today, because there is not one single song mentioned. But No More Dream is one of the earliest songs produced by BTS as a group, so I decided to go with it because these chapters obviously go way back, actually to a time prior to any song being published by BTS. So the first chapter we're looking at is chapter 3, called Making the Band. It's about 5 pages in length. The way I would describe the chapter is it is all about, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing this, Bang Si Hyuk. I really should have looked up the proper pronunciation of this before I started, but so apologies to anyone who knows better. But this is all about him. This is all about his time in the music industry in Korea before starting his own company, and then what his vision was for that company, and what his vision was for a K-pop boy band once that company had been going for a little while. So those three things, his time in the music industry prior to starting Big Hit, and then what was his earliest vision for a boy band, which is where BTS would then come in. So there are several paragraphs describing Bang early on. He, from an early age, seemed to have a talent for creating music. He, in the 1990s, became a founding member of the JYP Talent Agency, and the author comments that he proved a natural when it came to crafting K-pop songs. That's a quote. A natural when it came to crafting K-pop songs. And there's some of his creations mentioned here. There's a reference to a nickname that I was not familiar with until I read this hitman that he earned in the industry. He's described in the next paragraph as being an introspective, free-thinking sort of person. And what the author is getting at here in particular is how that introspection and free-thinking personality or mindset caused him to become at least a little uneasy about how talent agencies, especially in Korea, conducted themselves. And obviously that introspection and that kind of critical thinking about the industry and how things are done would follow him for many years to come. I love this quote about Bong. He saw examples of this prison-like approach to making pop culture entertainment on a near daily basis, and it disturbed him. End quote. He, in the next paragraph, is described as having a restless spirit and was not a fan of the conformity and the predictability that was ever present in K-pop, and because that pushed against his sense of individuality and freedom. And so it was in 2005, we learn in the next paragraph, that he left JYP to start Big Hit Entertainment. And in doing so, the author comments that he was, quote, intent on creating a new kind of K-pop. Now, obviously, starting something like this, especially in kind of response to how things were typically done, things started slow for Big Hit. And we've heard this before, but this author brings it up as well. Bankruptcy was not out of the picture for Big Hit. It's at one point, after a few years of not hitting it big, the author states that this is the time, around 2009, that Bong was starting to think seriously about a boy band. My favorite paragraph in this chapter follows that statement. And I'm going to read most of this paragraph with apologies to the author, because I think this sums up so nicely what was going on maybe in Bong's mind at the time. Bong had a blueprint for what would be an anti-establishment, by Korean cultural standards, and anti-K-pop rules. His dream group would write their own songs and lyrics. Their lyrics would be socially conscious, in keeping with the real-world hopes and dreams of their fans. They would create and manage their own media presence rather than conform to manufactured personas. I'm going to skip a sentence, pick up the quote. Group members would be free to talk about the struggles and pressures of their lives and careers. And perhaps most importantly to Bong's way of thinking, he would do away with the concept of slave contracts and grueling schedules. Now, the reason I love every bit of that paragraph is because I'm such a huge fan of any hint from any book I read about what it is that sets BTS apart from the music industry as a whole, and of course from K-pop. And I don't think nearly often enough about how all that goes back to this individual, Bong, and his particular way of thinking and how he was, in many respects, reacting to things he experienced on the inside of the K-pop industry. And just some of the sentiment here in this paragraph, the anti-establishment, anti-K-pop, the group members writing their own songs and lyrics, keeping it real, reflecting the hopes and dreams of their fans, things like that, being hands-on with their media presence. Things who are fans of BTS, we just appreciate so much. And this goes back 12 years or so, to 2009, maybe 2010. So really cool to be reminded of that. A couple paragraphs after that, Shapiro talks about how Bang selected the name of the group. And I always feel like I mispronounce this, Bangtan Sonyeondan, and translated into Bulletproof Boy Scouts, which obviously became BTS. And there's a little bit of talk about what that means, especially the bulletproof part, which is cool. It's always nice to be reminded of the origin of the name and what it signifies. The last few paragraphs of the chapter talk a good bit about RM. And as everyone knows, RM was in on the ground floor, and he was right there to help Bang put all this into reality, or make this a reality, and some collaborative, although, you know, RM was young, trainee type, he did have some insight that was certainly invaluable to Bang. There's a mention of Bang initially envisioning RM as a solo act, rap, of course. But then in 2010, deciding that BTS would become an all-hip-hop rap group. And I love this next paragraph because I forget that the original group could have looked radically different than it does today if Bang, maybe with RM's guidance, had picked some rappers like, and several are mentioned here, Kiddo, Iron, Supreme Boy, Suga, of course, who's in the group. But anyway, the author goes on to say how Bang decided to take a slightly different direction with the group. And instead of focusing only on rappers and hip hop, that instead he would just aim for something, this is my way of putting it, something in between a hip hop rap group and a typical K-pop group. So this chapter ends with that weird in-between. You know, he's not going for a 100% hip-hop group, but he didn't want them to be normal idols either. And that's where that chapter ends. Chapter 4, called Almost a Bangtan Boy, kind of picks up where that leaves off, but it's a standalone section that is not the kind of chapter I have encountered before that I recall in the books I've looked at. This chapter is very long. It's only 3.5-4 pages. And The reference to Almost a Bangtan Boy has to do with some performers, musicians who were considered early on, who tried out early on, who in some cases were with the group for a while. I mean, this is all trainee phase before they debuted, and of course, who were there for a while, but then for various reasons decided before it was too late to get out. And they had their reasons, and the author hints at some of these reasons. But the author starts the chapter by stating that Bang had a good enough reputation in the K-pop industry, and people getting hints that he was wanting to do something different, that would have attracted certain people. Some new people who didn't have a name, didn't have name recognition yet, and then others who did. And most of this section talks about people who at least by now have made a name for themselves. So I'm going to mention some of these in a second. But the second paragraph in this chapter talks about how there were requirements that Bang would have probably made clear, or people were clear about, that would have, you know, either interested certain people or kind of scared some others away. One of them being an age thing. And there's talk here about a good age range for appealing to a teenage audience, and how, you know, the age of 20 for a performer would be a bit old, especially if the group plans to be a group for a while, because, you know, if you start when you're 20, then, you know, before you know it, you're 30. And so for longevity's sake, that's not a good recipe. So that might have ruled some people out. He goes on to talk about a number of individuals who had auditions, training periods with Bang and this potential boy band. And he gets his information from popasia.com. So just keep that in mind. The first performer mentioned is I-11 Even. I guess that's how that's pronounced. A performer on the underground rap circuit. A member of DNH, the DNH crew. And with each one of these performers, auditioners or trainees, there's a mention of, at least vague mention of why they may have left. Things like the stress and strain of adjusting to a boy band lifestyle. You know, what does that mean? I don't know. But that's what the author mentions here. And so that's in reference to I-11. Even Bean Zeno is mentioned next, also a rap performer who had made a name for himself. And the author says, for reasons unknown, even up to now, he chose to turn down the opportunity to take part in BTS. Loco is mentioned next. Not much is said there about him. He's didn't last too long. Basik, B-A-S-I-C-K, is mentioned next. Doesn't go into why he backed out. Reddy, R-E-D-D-Y, is mentioned next. Who was cut after some auditions. Iron, a performer mentioned next, seemed to be a good fit. Supreme Boy is mentioned. And I like how the author talks about how Supreme Boy continued his relationship, a really good relationship, fruitful with BTS, but just not as a member of the group. So a lot of collaboration on songs, producing, and things like that. So his name still gets brought up a good bit. Kiddo is mentioned in the second to last paragraph. There's a reference to him balking, B-A-L-K-I-N-G, balking at the Spartan existence that went into becoming a boy band member. That's a quote. So he left for that reason, according to the author. And maybe, you know, he's getting his info, like I said, from that popasia.com. So you can check that out, perhaps, if you'd like. Styles, musical styles, was a stumbling block for some. And then the next sentence, Atom and Soo Woong are mentioned. So I'm assuming their stumbling block to becoming BTS members had to do with music styles. And that's pretty much the end of the chapter. I found that interesting. There wasn't enough info on each person to really reveal too much, and I can understand why the author might not want to even try to do that. It was an interesting chapter. I don't recall reading similar chapters in other books, so I think I said that about the last chapter too. So as a whole, I would view what Shapiro did with these two chapters as being somewhat unique when compared to other books that I'm familiar with in English about BTS. So I really appreciated that. Did I, as a reader, feel like I learned all that much from that second chapter about who didn't make the group? Not necessarily, because actually all I care about is who's in the group, you know. But it wasn't a long chapter. It was interesting, and it didn't go on for all that long. I do like how Shapiro writes. It's not dry, not boring, very interesting reading. I would highly recommend it. Again, it's called Burn the Stage, BTS and the Rise of Korean Boy Bands. I don't have anything else to say regarding overview or review of these particular chapters. As always, I want to end by encouraging you to check out an organization that I'm a huge fan of, have no ties with, by the way, but it's an organization called Books for Africa. You can find them online at booksforafrica.org. Check them out, see if you like, as I do, what they do. And they say and actually do what they can to end the book famine in Africa. Which is, there's a huge need there. It has been for a long time. They've been doing this since 1988. If you appreciate this podcast, show me that you appreciate it by visiting Books for Africa. If you like what you see there, make a donation. It doesn't have to be a large one, just something. And then send me an email at btsbythebook@gmail.com to let me know. That's the kind of thing that will encourage me, keep me going, keep at this week in, week out podcast. You can also use that email address to ask me questions, make comments. I'm open to any comments, good or bad. Make book suggestions, as long as they're in English. I would love to hear, if you haven't heard me talk about something, let me know, and I'll look into it. And please, finally, consider purchasing books like this book by Mark Shapiro. Show authors of books that how much you appreciate their work and how you appreciate the spreading of the goodwill for and about BTS through that particular venue. You know, I think we have all the other bases covered, the music, streaming, albums, the social media outlets. We have the video outlets covered, I feel, as fans. But what about books? I mean, I want to see more of them. And I think it starts with letting those who've already done the work know how much you appreciate their work by picking up your own copy. You can do so with this book in a Kindle digital version, of course, or a hard copy. That is all for this episode, episode 11. Thank you again for joining me. This is the BTS Bookworm saying good night, and we will see you very soon for episode 12.